We've played this thing about 35 times now so far this year. I still love this song.
It is awesome. I like it. We're both in here nodding our heads.
That's right. Glad to be joining you on a Saturday morning. It's the Racing Rundown, Sports Fan Radio 1330. As the big voice guy said, he is Thomas Gomez. My name is Jackson. We are here to talk about the Championship Four as we are coming down the home stretch, as you mentioned right before we went on the air, Thomas. And we're trying to figure out, that's a racing phrase, I think.
My gut just said it was baseball because everything's baseball.
Yeah, strike one, strike two, strike three. There's home other
run,
ones.
That, stuff like that. I mean, they're all baseball.
Yeah, he knocked it out of the park is another one that people say on a regular basis. But I think racing is...
home stretch, that's an actual racing reference.
Down the home stretch. Yeah. What else would it be?
I don't know.
A track and field, maybe? But that's also racing.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think that's what it is, and I can't think of any other racing-related, we're going to fire up the engines, I guess, but that's not really used in everyday conversation.
Well, I mean, it could be.
I guess, yeah, it could be. I don't know. But we've got a lot to talk about here. We've got the Championship Four that we're going to be discussing. You know what? This just came to my mind.
Okay. Because
we're going to be talking about Homestead. We're down the home stretch. That's why Homestead is the last race of the year.
Oh, yeah.
It's all just for that phrase.
It is. Now everything has to change for next year. We need a new phrase. We need a new saying, something.
Home stretch means that you are getting close to the finish line, I guess. And that's going to be Phoenix, which is the race that we just watched. And not everybody loved this race.
Right.
I thought it was better than what people thought.
You did?
Overall, what were you thinking? The Phoenix race, the final one that got us to our Championship Four in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. What were your overall thoughts?
My overall thoughts were, so this is our championship next year. Like, I wasn't a fan of the Phoenix race earlier this year. I didn't care for the finale the race just from last weekend. And then looking forward to this being the finale or championship race next year, I'm like, not that crazy about it.
I agree with you, and now we're starting to get more of a sample size because we could go based off of one race to see how this new aero duct package is going to work. Now we've got a second one, and if it turns out to be three and four that are also bad next year, at least less than ideal, then they've got some changes to make going into 2021 with the new rules packaging and the new schedule and the like. Overall, the restarts are phenomenal. They look good, but within three laps, it looked like, you know, they were all
single file
again. Yep. It also helped, I think, because one car was so much freaking better than the rest of the field that it made everything look boring.
That could be it, too.
Like, Hamlin had the Truex setup.
He did. Yeah, that was clear.
He's your winner, and he goes on to be part of the Championship Four next week. Denny Hamlin, a guy who needed a win, and dude, he got it. That was an impressive run.
Which I have to say about him, though, my mom was listening to Denny Hamlin's radio, and he was complaining about the car or something, right? And then all of a sudden, like a lap later, here he comes, like he was shot out of a rocket. I'm like, wait, how is he in the front if he just had an issue with the car? I'm like, was he just pulling someone's leg here? I'm like, come on.
The only thing I could think of is a track bar. That's the only thing they could really adjust on the fly.
But he was still on the track. He never went into pit.
Well, you could adjust that. You just pull the lever or whatever when you're in the car.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
But maybe he found a different line. I don't know.
I just thought it was funny. I'm like, he's complaining about the car, and then two laps later, he's up front.
Guys, this is why I'm doing poorly right now. Oh, wait, never mind. I figured it out.
Yep.
There were some things to like about this race overall, though. Personally, for me, just starting to watch the race, Thomas, it was awesome seeing a full crowd at a NASCAR event.
That was really cool.
We haven't seen too much of that this year. Those stands were packed, and I'm excited to have a full crowd for next year's championship race.
It'll more than likely sell out. They have a championship. You would have to expect that.
They were happy to tell you, too. A sold-out crowd at IMS Raceway this week, and they were happy. Mm-hmm. They were championing the fact that, you know, hey, we can still do this over here, guys. We still got people that are interested. That place is beautiful, too.
Mm-hmm. They did a great job on the remodel.
They really did, and I like up in the mountains, too, taking a look and seeing the people that just have their tents set up and they're watching on different layers of the mountain. It's a whole different view, and I don't remember. See, when I went there, it was a couple of times back in the 90s, and I wasn't a huge racing fan at the time. My dad was really into it, so we were there because of him. I remember seeing that there were people over by the mountain. I remember seeing trailers and stuff set out over there, RVs and all. but I don't remember it being as set up as it was. It definitely didn't have the Phoenix lettering in it from what I can remember. And now I see it, you know, it's starting to fill up a little bit. So that part's cool. It gives the track a little bit more of something different. It makes it unique in a way.
I'd have to agree with that.
And the restarts make it very pleasing to watch as well, because they can pretty much run any line as long as there's asphalt. So that part was exciting. Those are some of the things I liked. What about you, Thomas?
One thing about Phoenix specifically is I love the dog leg. I mean, we saw it on lap one. As soon as that green flag dropped, they scattered. And that's just something really cool to see, because you see people drive really on the inside, and then someone that's still up high on the track, it's like, who's going to make it? Because they're so far apart, you can't tell.
Right.
You have no idea how that's going to play out. Versus at a, you know, a regular oval or other track, you can kind of predict what's going to happen there. So this is so, it makes it so unpredictable on restarts, and restarts are even better with this package this year. So, I mean, that part of this, I'm looking forward to next year. But with the long green flag runs, I wasn't crazy about the race. But it's that dog leg that really makes Phoenix unique, and that's what I really liked about it.
Yeah, and as they funnel into the first turn, you wonder why there's not a bunch of people smacking into the side of other people as well. Mm-hmm. They get up to them by about a foot in between, and they're able to ride it into the turn that way. But very intriguing. You almost wish that there were more cautions so they can have more of those restarts. There were a couple of times where I was surprised, and we'll get to this in a little bit, but Hamlin had something like a 10 and a half second lead with about 78 laps to go. And I don't remember if it was Joe Nemechek or if it was David Reagan. I think Reagan was the second one where they actually did throw the flag.
Mm-hmm.
But Hamlin was so far out in front that a car went down. And he had to go three quarters of the way around the track just to make it into the pits. And they're wondering, are they gonna throw the flag? Are they going to throw the flag? His tire was gone. It was just laying out in the track somewhere. And I'm shocked that they did not throw the debris penalty. Were you shocked by that?
I was waiting for it the entire time. But I guess because the driver got themselves to the inside of the track and just rode that the entire time, they were able to get to pit road just fine without causing a huge deal.
It looked like he was almost on his rim. So it was like, well, where did the tire go then?
Right.
So then they ended up throwing it toward the end of the race, of course. NASCAR has a way of trying to make a restart happen within the last 10 laps. And if Denny Hamlin would have won by 10 and a half seconds, I don't know if the whole entire race would have gotten above 18 or 20% or whatever the Jeff Gluck poll was at the end. He does this after every race. Jeff Gluck of The Athletic. We've brought him up here a few times on the show. He'll do a Twitter poll. The only answers are yes or no. Was Phoenix a good race? Now, full disclosure, I saw that poll and I saw the results. I voted yes, just, you know, I didn't see it, but I was hoping for yes. And so I voted for the positive. Yeah, it was one of the 18% of the time. And I said, oh boy.
Yeah.
We're going to be in for a race here that's not going to be all that fun. I hadn't talked to you at that point. Mm-hmm. There was a big Packers game on TV. I'm a football guy. The problem with NASCAR and your favorite team playing in another sport is that typically you're going to find out the spoiler of one quicker than you're going to find out the spoiler of the other.
Right.
So I just put the one on the DVR. But when I got back to it, I did really enjoy this race a lot more than what the 18% would suggest. And right from the beginning, too, does it seem like, and I'm going all the way back to the beginning of the race, right at the front of the broadcast, does it seem like they're coaching the driver command people now? The ones that say, gentlemen, start your engines. Like, they've gotten really into it over the last couple of weeks here. Like,
That's how they should be.
They should absolutely be that way. But for the longest time, it was like, here is Reverend whatever from the, chapel of whatever outside of this track. Gentlemen, start your engines. And it's the lamest, like, all right, let's go, everybody.
Yep.
The last two, I think. Maybe it's more than that.
Yeah, because the Bluff City Law actress was a couple weeks ago, and she did a really good job.
She did. Yeah, they're killing it now. Like, they're actually getting you excited for these races. And so it was cool to see that. I don't know if it's NBC or if it's the racetrack, whatever it is, keep doing it.
Yeah, it's just, you know, when I think of any NASCAR race, every weekend we watch this race, right? We're always looking for that command. Like, is it going to be a good one? Is it going to be a bad one? And you'll know immediately, too, because you want someone that's fired up, ready to go. You don't want someone that's like, gentlemen, start your engines, or they have a or it's a business owner and they're doing the sales pitch before they do it.
Yes.
And it's like, OK, we don't need that. Just say the words and let's get this going.
Yes. The worst are the sponsors. Like, thank you for coming to our Milky Way 300. Don't forget to try our Halloween one with M&Ms in it. Gentlemen, start your engines. It's like, okay, thanks for that infomercial.
Yep, exactly. I mean, we couldn't do it without the sponsors, but at the same time, it's slapped everywhere.
Yeah, how much are we really giving them for? I get it. I'm with you 100% on that. What are some things that you didn't like?
Well, one thing right off the right off the top, before the green flag dropped or anything, every announcer, everybody was talking about Chase Elliott and his huge points deficit, right? He was 78 points, I believe, out of it. They kept talking about he just has to focus on winning. He doesn't have to worry about the points. He's just going into this focusing on winning. And it irritated me so much because every driver, if you think about it, Denny Hamlin, Ryan Blaney, Kyle Larson, Joey Logano, Kyle Busch, they all are going into this race at Phoenix in a must-win situation. If they want to guarantee themselves a spot at Homestead, there is
so
no other way to do it.
That is so true.
So why do we keep bringing up Chase Elliott being 78 points out and he only has to focus on winning because points don't matter to him?
It's golden boy.
Points shouldn't matter to anybody at
this point. They shouldn't. You're right.
They should matter at when the checkered flag drops. Okay, what do the points look like? Where are we at? Or at, you know, last stage or something. Let's not worry about that first thing in the race.
They were trying to get as much as they could out of Chase Elliott being relevant that they possibly could because they know
he's the favorite.
He's the one that turns the needle.
Yep.
He's their hope. He's their star child going forward in a format where we don't have a face of NASCAR right now. Nobody's won consecutive championships since Jimmy Johnson did it at the beginning of this decade. Chase Elliott is supposed to be the next big thing. And I'm with you on that. I'm not turned off by it. I get it. That's part of the broadcast machine. They've got to talk about what people want to talk about.
There's I know. Why do they have to bring it up so many times?
Right. Well, there's a reason why you and I don't talk about ARCA.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
We can watch it. We can enjoy it. But if we started talking about it, I think the average NASCAR fan is just going to be like, oh, okay, we'll wait till they talk Cup. Maybe tune in a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep. So they're trying to, you know, I get it.
That's the only thing I can think of. But yes, I'm so with you on that. Dude, we mentioned the single file within three laps. Wasn't a big fan of that. Phoenix on the short tracks, this new package isn't really working out, but we've talked about this and beat that drum all year long. What I love is once we got into, I don't know, maybe halfway in or maybe, I don't know, at the end of the first stage or so by then, when things started to settle a little bit, you knew that all six that were relevant in this race, the drivers on the bubble, they're all in the top 10, right? The broadcast starts remarking that points aren't being made up because all the relevant drivers were in the top 10. But the way that they brought it up, like Jeff Burton's like, well, it doesn't look like the points are really going to change all that much because everybody here is running top 10 in this race. Why are you surprised? This is what always happens in a playoff race.
Right.
Like the guys that aren't in it don't really care. They're there because their sponsorship, they're there to get the money, but they're not going to get in the way of anyone who's really trying, like Denny Hamlin, really trying to win the race and being aggressive. You know, they're getting out of the way. The guys who are relevant are in the top 10 usually.
Yeah, and Homestead is like literally this weekend, like the following race. So if you're contending for a championship, you should be in the top 10. You know, you shouldn't be running back in 20th or whatever, you know?
They usually save a lot of stories to the way that some broadcasts do it. Like in baseball, if you were to turn on a baseball game and the score is 10-2 and it's in the seventh inning and the team that has two really doesn't have much of a chance to win, that's when the broadcast starts getting into more fluff pieces. They take a deeper dive into stories that may keep some fans entertained, the diehards that are still there, the casual fans that haven't turned the television off. They start to turn the broadcast away from exactly what's happening on the track or on the field, and they start taking it to, you know, bigger picture stuff. Or how about this story where this guy did something great for charity? We were 47 laps into this race, and I wrote this thing down in my notes. They were already burning through the Penske story because Logano was so far out in front. It's like, oh, well, we've got one of these races here.
Uh-huh.
You hear about Roger Penske? He just bought Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Guys, what do you think about that? And they're going through it like it's a blowout, and we're not even done with stage one yet.
Yep.
I cracked up over that. I guess it's something I didn't really like, but that's just the race in general. Overall, it got better. I mean, it was better than 18%. I was surprised by that number on watching back. But
see, and you told when you brought the poll up to me and was like, you know, 18% of people said yes, they enjoyed Phoenix, and I'm like, yeah, that's about right.
Yeah.
So just different opinions. Like I just yeah.
What's is there anything else that you didn't like still?
Chase Elliott's my second favorite driver, so I wasn't happy to see him hit the wall. Yeah. He had a rough round of eight. He had, a gear or something at Martinsville, hit the wall at Texas, blew a tire and hit the wall in Phoenix. He just was not doing hot lately.
It wasn't good, unfortunately, for him, but that's also a Chevy thing. It just seems like Chase Elliott is, it's like he's a year ahead right now.
Mm-hmm.
It takes some time. The numbers suggest when you dive into analytics for NASCAR, a driver that's past the age of 30, right around the age of 40, that's when they're in their prime. Chase mm-hmm. Elliott looks like he just graduated high school 5 years ago, you know?
Mm-hmm.
How old is he?
He's 9 months older than I am, so he's 24.
I was going to ask. He's your age, right? Like, he has to be right around
we're
there.
We're very, very close in age.
He's got time.
He does.
He might be a year ahead. Yep. Chevy's got to figure this thing out. Maybe they do in 2021. Maybe they start to make some strides next year. It's typically how this manufacturer battle thing works. Chevy's mm-hmm. going to go back, and they're going to be like, what do we got to do here? If he gets good equipment, we already know he's dominant at the road courses. He's had success in the playoffs and the tracks that are in these. So I feel like he's going to be fine. But this just wasn't his year. At no point did I think Chase Elliott, dude, he might win the championship.
Right.
You know, this was a Gibbs year.
Yeah.
And now we got three out of the four drivers in the championship four driving for the same team for the very first time. What did you love about this race?
I think we talked about it earlier. I love the dog leg. That was the first thing I wrote down in my notes was love, all caps, love the dog leg is how spread out they got. It's just, you don't get to see that at any other track.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just so cool.
And I think that's going to look good for the championship next year. That's going to be a lot of fun to watch that. My favorite thing, well, now that we're on the subject of Chase Elliott, or at least we were briefly bringing him up there, that battle that he had with Denny Hamlin, that was the whole race to me.
Yeah.
That was everything I needed to see. And I wish that there was a little bit more of that because Hamlin had such a better car and he was trying to get around. But Chase Elliott at the time was running pretty well too. They were bumping into each other. They were both getting loose. One would get ahead of the other. The other wouldn't really, you know, take that and then try to cross over. They were changing. I think it was for second and third too. It wasn't mm-hmm. even for the lead. Logano was out front at that point. And they kept on changing their position so much by different ways of drafting. I mean, it was a clinic, man. Like, if you were turning on the race for the very first time and you saw that, you'd be invested to watch more, to see more of what that was. And the Elliott and Hamlin battle, as brief as it was in the second stage, probably my favorite thing involving this whole entire race. That and the celebration was pretty cool.
On that, though, I love social media and Twitter on that Denny Hamlin, Chase Elliott going back and forth. Because Twitter and social media, they did not forget about Denny Hamlin spinning him out at Martinsville years ago. And it's like, is this the time that he gets him back? Is this it? It's like, come on, people, that was years ago. Do you really think that's going to happen?
So you don't think, like, were you concerned about that at all?
I mean, it was in my mind, like, okay, is this actually going to happen? Is he going to do something? Because, I mean, it's the championship.
Right.
We're 1 week away. Like, it's do or die at this point. So, I mean, it's possible. It can happen, but does it really happen?
Would it have been bad if he knocked out Denny Hamlin at that time? It was clear that Hamlin had the best car.
Right. It would have made for an interesting show, interesting following week leading up to Homestead. That would be for sure.
That it absolutely would have. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about more about those eight drivers as we now cut down to four. We're going to preview Homestead. We've got plenty coming up on this show. Xfinity, we're going to get into because we haven't really given them enough love this year. They've got their championship as well coming up. You've got the National Rundown, saving it because, you know, my dog ate the homework on mm-hmm. that part. So we'll talk about that a little bit more. If you are interested in NASCAR, keep it here. As we are going to dive more into this championship four up next on the Racing Rundown. He's Thomas Gomez and I'm Jackson. We're back after this.
The Racing Rundown on Sports Fan Radio 1330.